The Gospel Sonnets by Ralph Erskine. Part 1. The Believer's Espousals Continued. Chapter 6. An exhortation to all that are out of Christ, in order to their closing the match with Him. Containing also motives and directions. Reader, into thine hands these lines are given, but not without the providence of heaven. Or to advance thy bliss, if thou art wise, or aggravate thy woe, if thou despise. For thee, perhaps, the omniscient ken has formed the counsel here and led the pen. The writer then does thy attention plead, in his great name that gave thee eyes to read. Section 1. Conviction offered to sinners, especially such as are wedded strictly to the law or self-righteous, that they may see the need of Christ's righteousness. If never yet thou didst fair Jesus wed, nor yield thy heart to be his marriage bed, but hitherto are wedded to the law, which never could thy chained affections draw, from brutish lusts and sordid lovers' charms. Lo, thou art yet in Satan's folded arms. Hell's power invisible thy soul retains, his captive slave locked up in massy chains. O sinner, then, as thou regard'st thy life, seek with ardent care and earnest strife, to be the glorious Lamb's betrothed wife. For base co-rivals, never let him lose, thy heart his bed of conjugal repose. Wed Christ alone, and with severe remorse from other mates pursue a clean divorce, for they thy ruin seek by fraud or force, as lurking serpents in the shady bowers conceal their malice under spreading flowers. So thy deceitful lusts with cruel spite hide ghastly danger under gay delight. Art thou a legal zealot, soft or rude? Renounce thy natural and acquired good. As base deceitful lusts may work thy smart, so may deceitful frames upon thy heart. Seeming good motions may in some be found, much joy in hearing, like the stony ground. Much sorrow too in praying, as appears in Esau's careful suit with rueful tears. Touching the law, they blameless may appear, from spurious views most specious virtues bears, nor merely be devout in men's esteem, but prove to be sincerely what they seem, friends to the holy law in heart and life, sewers of heaven with utmost legal strife, yet still with innate pride so rankly spiced, converted but to duties, not to Christ. That publicans and harlots heaven obtain before a crew so righteous and so vain. Sooner will those shake off their vicious dress than these blind zealots will their righteousness, who judge they have, which fortifies their pride, the law of God itself upon their side. Old nature, new brushed up with legal pains, such strict attachment to the law retains. No means, no motives can to Jesus draw vain souls so doubly wedded to the law. But wouldst the glorious prince in marriage have, know that thy natural husband cannot save. Thy best essays to pay the legal rent can never in the least the law content. Didst thou in prayers employ the morning light, in tears and groans the watches of the night, pass thy whole life in close devotion o'er, 'tis nothing to the law, still craving more. There's no proportion twixt its high commands, and puny works from thy polluted hands. Perfection is the least that it demands. Wouldst enter into life, then keep the law, but keep it perfectly, without a flaw. It won't have less, nor will abate at last a drop of vengeance for the sin that's past. Tell, sinful mortal, is thy stock so large as duly can defray this double charge? Why, these are mere impossibles, sayst thou. Yea, truly so they are. And therefore now, that down thy legal confidence may fall, the law's black doom home to thy bosom call. Lo, I, the divine law, demand no less than perfect everlasting righteousness. But thou hast failed, and lost thy strength to do. Therefore I doom thee to eternal woe, in prison close to be shut up for ere I be baffled with thy partial pay. Thou always didst and dost my precepts break. I therefore curse thee to the burning lake. In God, the great lawgiver's glorious name, I judge thy soul to everlasting shame. No flesh can by the law be justified, yet darest thou thy legal duties plead? As Paul appealed to Caesar, wilt thou so unto the law? Then to it thou shalt go, and find it doom thee to eternal woe. What, would ye have us plunged in deep despair? Amen, yea, God himself would have you there. His will it is that you despair of life and safety by the law or legal strife, that cleanly thence divorced at any rate his fairest son may have a faithful mate. Till this law sentence pass within your breast, you'll never wed the law discharging priest. You prize not heaven till he through hell you draw, nor love the gospel till ye know the law. Know then, the divine law most perfect cares for none of thy imperfect legal wares, dooms thee to vengeance for thy sinful state, as well as sinful actions, small or great. If any sin can be accounted small, to hell it dooms thy soul for one and all. For sins of nature, practice, heart, and way, damnation rent, it summons thee to pay. Yea, not for sin alone, which is thy shame, but for thy boasted service too, so lame. The law adjudges thee in hell to meet, because thy righteousness is incomplete. As towering flames burn up the withered flags, so will the fiery law thy filthy rags. Section 2. Direction given with reference to the right use of the means, that we rest not on these instead of Christ, the glorious husband, in whom our help lies. Adam, where art thou? Soul, where art thou now? Oh, art thou saying, Sir, what shall I do? I dare not use that proud self-raising strain. Go help yourself, and God will help you then. Nay, rather know, O Israel, that thou hast destroyed thyself, and canst not in the least from sin nor wrath thyself the captive free. Thy help, says Jesus, only lies in me. Heaven's oracles direct to him alone. Full help is laid upon thy mighty one. In him complete salvation dwells. He's God the helper, and there is none else. Fig leaves won't hide thee from the fiery shower. Must we do nothing then, will mockers say, but rest in sloth till heaven the help convey? Pray, stop a little, sinner. Don't abuse God's awful word that charges thee to use means, ordinances, which he's pleased to place as precious channels of his powerful grace. Restless improve all these, until from heaven the whole salvation needless thus be given. Wait in his path according to his call, on him whose power alone effecteth all. Wouldst thou him wed? In duties wait, I say, but marry not thy duties by the way. Thou wilt woefully come short of saving grace, if duties only be thy resting place. Nay, go a little further through them all, to him whose office is to save from thrall. Thus, in a gospel manner hopeful wait, striving to enter by the narrow gate, so straight and narrow that it won't admit the bunch upon thy back to enter it. Not only bulky lusts may cease to press, but even the bunch of boasted righteousness. Many, as in the sacred page we see, shall strive to enter, but unable be, because, mistaking this new way of life, they push a legal, not a gospel strife. As if their duties did Jehovah bind, because 'tis written, "Seek and ye shall find." Perverted scripture does their error fence. They read the letter, but neglect the sense. While to the word no gospel gloss they give, their seek and finds the same with do and live. Hence would they a connection native place between their moral pains and saving grace. Their natural poor essays the judge won't miss, in justice, to infer eternal bliss. Thus commentaries on the word they make, which to their ruin are a grand mistake. For though the legal bias in their breast, they scripture to their own destruction rest. Why, if we seek, we get, they gather hence, which is not truth save in the scripture sense. There Jesus deals with friends, and elsewhere saith, these seekers only speed that ask in faith. The prayer of the wicked is abhorred, as an abomination to the Lord. Their suits are sins, but their neglects no less, which can't their guilt diminish but increase. They ought like beggars lie in grace's way, hence Peter taught the sorcerer to pray. For though mere natural men's address or prayers can no acceptance gain as work of theirs, nor have as their performance any sway, yet as a divine ordinance they may. But spotless truth has bound itself to grant the suit of none but the believing saint. In Jesus, persons once accepted do acceptance find in him for duties too, for he whose son they do in marriage take, which righteousness received is, without strife, the true condition of eternal life. But still, say thou, power to believe I miss. You may, but know you what believing is? Faith lies not in your building up a tower of some great action by your proper power, for heaven well knows that by the killing fall no power, no will remains in man at all for acts divinely good, till sovereign grace by powerful drawing virtue turn the chase. Hence, none believe in Jesus as they ought, till once they do believe they can do naught, nor are sufficient even to form a thought. They're conscious in the right believing hour of human weakness and of divine power. Faith acts not in the sense of strength and might, but in the sense of weakness acts outright. It is no boasting arm of power or length, but weakness acting on almighty strength. It is the powerless, helpless sinner's flight into the open arms of saving might. 'Tis an employing Jesus to do all that can within salvation's compass fall. To be the agent kind in everything belonging to the prophet, priest, and king, to teach, to pardon, sanctify, and save, and nothing to the creature's power to leave. Faith makes us joyfully content that he, our head, our husband, and our all should be, our righteousness and strength, our stock and store, our fund for food and raiment, grace and glory. It makes the creature down to nothing fall, content that Christ alone be all in all. The plan of grace is faith's delightful view, with which it closes both as good and true. Unto the truth the mind's assent is full, unto the good a free consenting will. The Holy Spirit, here the agent chief, creates this faith and dashes unbelief. That very God who calls us to believe, the very faith he seeks, must also give. Why calls he then, say you? Pray, man, be wise. Why did he call dead Lazarus to rise? Because he orders in their bosom bare almighty power to make the carcass hear. But heaven may not this mighty power display. Most true, yet still thou art obliged to obey. But God is not at all obliged to stretch his saving arm to such a sinful wretch. All who within salvation rolls have place are saved by a prerogative of grace. But vessels all that shall with wrath be crammed are by an act of holy justice damned. Take then, dear soul, as from a friendly heart, the counsel which the following lines impart. Section 4. An advice to sinners to apply to the sovereign mercy of God, as it is discovered through Christ, to the highest honor of justice and other divine attributes, in order to further their faith in him unto salvation. Go, friend, and at Jehovah's footstool bow. Thou know'st not what a sovereign God may do. Confess, if he commiserate thy case, 'twill be an act of powerful sovereign grace. Sequestrate carefully some solemn hours to soothe thy grand concern in secret bowers. Then in the ensuing strain to God impart, and pour into his bosom all thy heart. O glorious, gracious, powerful sovereign Lord, thy help unto a sinful worm afford, who from my wretched birth to this sad hour have still been destitute of will and power, to close with glorious Christ, yea, filled with spite at thy fair darling and thy saint's delight, resisting all his grace with all my might. Come, Lord, and sap my enmity's strong tower. O, haste the marriage day, the day of power, that sweetly, by resistless grace inclined, my once reluctant be a willing mind. Thou spakest to being everything we see, when thy almighty will said, let it be. Nothing's to being in a moment pass, let there be light, thou saidst, and so it was. A powerful word like this, a mighty call must say, let there be faith, and then it shall. Thou seekst my faith and light from sin and guilt. Give what thou seekst, Lord, then seek what thou wilt. What good can issue from a root so ill? This heart of mine's a wicked lump of hell. 'Twill all thy common motions still resist, unless with special drawing virtue blessed. Thou calls, but with the call thy power convey, command me to believe, and I'll obey. Nor any more thy gracious call gainsay. Command, O Lord, effectually command, and grant I be not able to withstand. Then powerless I will stretch the withered hand. I to thy favor can pretend no claim, but what is borrowed from thy glorious name, which though most justly thou mayst glorify, in damning such a guilty wretch as me, a faggot fitted for the burning fire of thine incensed everlasting ire. Yet, Lord, since now I hear thy glorious Son, in favor of a race that was undone, did in thy name, by thy authority, once to the full stern justice satisfy, and paid more glorious tribute thereunto than hell and all his torments e'er can do, since my salvation through his blood can rise, a revenue to justice highest praise. Higher than rents, which hell forever pays, these to tremendous justice never bring a satisfaction equal and condign. But Jesus, our once dying God, performs what never could by ever dying worms, since thus thy threatening law is honored more than e'er my sins affronted it before. Since justice stern may greater glory won by justifying in thy darling Son than by condemning even the rebel me to this device of wisdom, lo, I flee. Let justice, Lord, according to thy will, be glorified with glory great and full. Not now in hell, where justice, petty pay, is but extorted parcels minced for A, but glorified in Christ, who down has told the total sum at once in liquid gold. In lowest hell, low praise is only won, but justice has the highest in thy Son, the Sun of righteousness that set in red to show the glorious morning would succeed. In him then save thou me from sin and shame, and to the highest glorify thy name. Since this bright scene thy glories all express, and grace as empress reigns through righteousness, since mercy fair runs in a crimson flood, and vents through justice satisfying blood. Not only then for mercy's sake I sue, but for the glory of thy justice too. And since each letter of thy name divine has in fair Jesus' face the brightest shine, this glorious husband be forever mine. On this strong argument so sweet, so blessed, with thy allowance, Lord, I must insist. Great God, since thou allowest unworthy me to make thy glorious name my humble plea, no glory worthy of it wilt thou gain by casting me into the burning main. My feeble back can never suit the load that speaks thy name, a sin-revenging God. Scarce would that name seem a consuming fire upon a worm unworthy of thine ire. But see the worthy Lamb, thy chosen priest, with justice burning glass against his breast, contracting all the beams of venging wrath, as in their center, till he burnt to death. Vengeance can never be so much proclaimed by scattered beams among the millions damned. Then, Lord, in him, me to the utmost save, and thou shalt glory to the highest have. Glory to wisdom that contrived so well. Glory to power that bore and buried hell. Glory to holiness which sin defaced, with sinless service now divinely graced. Glory to justice's sword that flaming stood, now drink to pleasure with atoning blood. Glory to truth that now in scarlet clad has sealed both threats and promises with red. Glory to mercy, now in purple streams, so sweetly gliding through the divine flames of other once offended, now exalted names. Each attribute conspires with joint embrace to show its sparkling rays in Jesus' face, and thus to deck the crown of matchless grace. But to thy name in hell ne'er can accrue the thousandth part of this great revenue. O ravishing contrivance, light that blinds cherubic gazers and seraphic minds! They pry into the deep and love to learn what yet should vastly more be my concern. Lord, once my hope most reasonless could dream of heaven without regard to thy great name, but here is laid, my lasting hope to found, a highly rational, a lasting ground. 'Tis reasonable, I expect thou'lt take the way that most will for thine honor make. Is this the plan? Lord, let me build my claim to life on this high glory of thy name. Nor let my faithless heart or think or say that all this glory shall be thrown away in my perdition, which will never raise to thy great name so vast a rent of praise. O then a rebel into favor take, Lord, shield and save me for thy glory's sake. My endless ruin is not worth the cost, that so much glory be forever lost. I'll of the greatest sinner bear the shame, to bring the greatest honor to thy name. Small loss, though I should perish endless days, but thousand pities grace should lose the praise. O hear, Jehovah, get the glory then, and to my supplication say Amen. Section 5. The terrible doom of unbelievers and rejectors of Christ, or despisers of the gospel. Thus, sinner, into Jesus' bosom flee, then there is hope in Israel sure for thee. Slight not the call, as running by in rhyme, lest thou repent for aye, if not in time. 'Tis most unlawful to contemn and shun all wholesome counsels that in meter run, since the prime fountains of the sacred writ much heavenly truth in holy rhymes transmit. If this don't please, yet hence it is no crime to versify the word and preach in rhyme. But in whatever mold the doctrine lies, some erring minds will gospel truth despise. Without remedy, till heaven anoint their eyes, these lines pretend no conquering art nor skill, but show in weak attempts a strong good will to mortify all native legal pride, and court the Lamb of God, a virgin bride. If he, thy conjunct match, be never given, thou art doomed to hell, as sure as God's in heaven. If gospel grace and goodness don't thee draw, thou art condemned already by the law. Yea, hence damnation deep will doubly brace, if still thy heart contemn redeeming grace. No argument for fear or hope will move, nor draw thy heart, if not the bond of love. Nor flowing joys, nor flaming terrors chase, to Christ the haven, without the gales of grace. O slighter then of grace's joyful sound, thou art over to the wrathful ocean bound. Anon thou'lt sink into the gulf of woes, whene'er thy wasting hours are at a close. Thy false old legal hope will then be lost, and with thy wretched soul give up the ghost. Then farewell God and Christ and grace and glory. Undone thou art, undone forevermore, forever sinking underneath the load and pressure of a sin-revenging God. The sacred awful text asserts, to fall into his living hands is fearful thrall, when no more sacrifice for sin remains, but ever-living wrath and lasting chains. Heaven still upholding life in dreadful death, still throwing down hot thunderbolts of wrath. As full of terror and as manifold, as finite vessels of his wrath can hold. Then we may suppose the wretch to cry, "Oh, if this damning God would let me die, and not torment me to eternity!" Why, from the silent womb of stupid earth, did heaven awake and push me into birth? Cursed be the day that ever gave me life, cursed be the cruel parents, man and wife, means of my being, instruments of woe, for now I'm damned and always so. Cursed be the day that ever made me hear the gospel call which brought salvation near. The endless sound of slighted mercy's bell has in mine ears the most tormenting knell. Of offered grace I vain repent the loss, the joyful sound with horror recognize. The hollow vault reverberates the sound, this killing echo strikes the deepest wound, and with too late remorse does now confound, into the dungeon of despair I'm locked, the once open door of hope forever blocked. Hopeless I sink into the dark abyss, banished forever from eternal bliss. In boiling waves of vengeance must I lie? Oh, could I curse this dreadful god and die? Infinite years and torment shall I spend, and never, never, never at an end. Ah, oh, must I live in torturing despair as many years as atoms in the air? When these are spent, as many thousands more as grains of sand that crowd the ebbing shore, when these are done, as many yet behind as leaves of forest shaken with the wind, when these are gone, as many to ensue as stems of grass on hills and dales that grew, when these run out, as many on the march as starry lamps that gild the spangled arch, when these expire, as many millions more as moments in the millions passed before, when all these doleful years are spent in pain and multiplied by myriads again, 'tis numbers drown the thought, could I suppose, that them my wretched years were at a close, this would afford some ease. But ah, I shiver to think upon the dreadful sound forever, the burning gulf where I blaspheming lie, is time no more, but vast eternity. The glowing torment I endure for sin through ages all is always to begin. How did I but a grain of pleasure sow to reap an harvest of immortal woe? Bound at the bottom of the burning main, gnawing my chains, I wish for death in vain. Just doom, since I that bear the eternal load condemned the death of an eternal god. Oh, if the god that cursed me to the lash would bless me back to nothing with a dash. But hopeless, I the just avenger hate, blaspheme the wrathful god and curse my fate. To these this word of terror I direct, who now the great salvation dare neglect. To all the Christ-despising multitude that trample on the great Redeemer's blood, that see no beauty in his glorious face, but slight his offers and refuse his grace. A messenger of wrath to none I am, but those that hate to wed the worthy Lamb. For though the smallest sins, if small can be, will plunge the Christless soul in misery, yet, lo, the greatest that to mortals cleave shan't damn the souls in Jesus that believe. Because they on the very method fall that well can make amends to God for all. Whereas proud souls, through unbelief, won't let the glorious God a reputation get of all his honor and his darling son for all the great dishonors they have done. A faithless soul, the glorious God bereaves of all the satisfaction that he craves. Hence under divine hottest fury dies, and with a double vengeance justly lies. The blackest part of Tophet is their place, who slight the tenders of redeeming grace. That sacrilegious monster, unbelief, so hardened gainst remorse and pious grief, robs God of all the glory of his names, and every divine attribute defames. It loudly calls the truth of God a lie, the God of truth a liar, horrid cry, doubts and denies his precious words of grace, spits venom in the royal suitor's face. This monster cannot cease all sin to hatch, because it proudly mars the happy match. as each law-wedded soul is joined to sin and destitute of holiness within, so all that wed the law must wed the curse, which rent they scorn to pay with Christ's full purse. They clear may read their dreadful doom in brief, whose festered sore is final unbelief. Though to the law their life exalted framed, for zealous acts and passions too were framed, yet lo, he that believes shall not be damned. But now 'tis proper, on the other side, with words of comfort, to address the bride. She in her glorious husband does possess adorning grace, acquitting righteousness, and hence to her pertain the golden mines of comfort opened in the following lines. This audio recording was read by Michael Ives. I hope you found it enlightening and edifying. Visit westportexperiment.com for more audio resources, and where I write about parish missions, the care of souls, and all things Reformed.